You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In July last year, the government announced a one-year period of lower excise rates on heated tobacco products produced by Philip Morris. Last month, the government extended that period by 2 years, with a valuation now set for July 2027. This move has been seen by some as a tax break or corporate subsidy for Philip Morris, but some have argued that it is a positive step for harm prevention through encouraging smokers to buy healthier nicotine products. I spoke to Emeritus Professor in Population Health at the University of Auckland, Ruth Benita, about the government's move and what it means for Philip Morris and how this will impact the health of New Zealanders. Why is this more complex than just a corporate subsidy?
Well, it's not a corporate subsidy at all. It's money that will be foregone by the government if people take it up. It's a differential tax to try and encourage people to take up a less harmful product. But there might be some confusion about tax and excise tax here. It's a differential tax on a product, hopefully, that is less harmful than the excise tax raised on harmful products.
Why are heated tobacco products something we should be encouraging?
Well, from the evidence we have, it's heating tobacco, not burning tobacco. These products are heating it at a much lower temperature, and that makes the inhalation of the aerosols and toxins from burning tobacco less harmful, presumably. Therefore, it should attract a differentially lower tax.
And is reducing excise tax the best way to do this?
Well, what you want to do is to make the healthier choices the easier and cheaper choices. At the moment, tax is regressive, as it should be, but it hits those. Tax is very hard hitting on those who are smoking. But a differential tax will make those safer products more affordable for those who need them.
And do you understand why there is a lot of cynicism around this move based on the government's other interactions with the smoking industry?
Absolutely. I mean, it's totally inappropriate for the industry to be discussing and lobbying with the government. And in fact, there's no... all countries have signed up to... There being no lobbying from the tobacco industry, but there's a lot of distrust from the past, and rightly so, where the tobacco industry was totally deceitful about promoting the idea that cigarettes were not harmful.
What can be done to combat this kind of cynicism and distrust?
Straight up, we need transparency. We need to be sure that the industry is not having influence on policy. We need to help people understand that moving away from cigarettes is what this is the story's about, not so much in politics of various companies, tobacco companies. The tobacco companies are shifting to less harmful products, and by less harmful, I mean accessing nicotine through any way other than burning tobacco.
And what does this move mean in terms of how our government is currently interacting with the tobacco and smoking industries?
Well, I think they're signalling the fact that they are offering a differential tax, a lower tax on heat-not-burn products, because at the moment all tobacco products are taxed, and this is a safer form of accessing nicotine and burning the tobacco, right? And therefore, it seems that the government is trying to make a healthier choice, an easier choice, by making it cheaper for the consumer. Now, if the tobacco industry, in this case Philip Morris, who has a monopoly on these heated products, doesn't pass the tax on to the consumers, then that needs to be dealt with, and that would be a scandal.
If Philip Morris don't do what is expected of them, what then sort of situation are we looking at? How do we deal with that?
They have already begun. Actually, they have already begun to lower the prices, because the a heated stick has already dropped from $17 to $14. The question is that the whole of the excise tax that's being passed on to consumers, or just partial? I think you need to really find out and ask Philip Morris, have they passed on the whole of the tax? They certainly have passed on some.
How does this factor into New Zealand's smoke-free goals as they stand?
Well, that's a very good question, and raising the fact that New Zealand is probably ahead of the game worldwide in reaching the 5% smoke-free goal. That's 5% fewer smoking. This will help accelerate the opportunity for the 200,000 remaining smokers to have a greater option to shift off the deadly cigarette. After all, there's nothing that they can do more readily than move away from this cigarette, which are killing 4,500 people a year and causing a big burden on the health services. Therefore, it seems to me that keeping, allowing, not to leave those behind, the 5% who will be left behind, and which are also people who have the groups that are hardest hit, they have the highest prevalence. That's the older people who find changing more difficult. It's Maori and Pacifica who are smoking at higher rates than others. And I think there's a big opportunity here just to make another product which is less harmful, more available as an option. Widen the option. It comes back down to make the healthier choices, the easier choices, and the cheaper choices. I think it's a very useful conversation that's been raised to help people understand what it is about smoking that is difficult. It's the smoking that kills. It's not the nicotine that kills. So we're after a smoke-free society, not a nicotine-free society. And that might help people understand why, with the new products that's coming onto the market, which delivers nicotine in a less harmful way, understand why that might be a good thing for New Zealand and for the world in general.
That was the University of Auckland's Ruth Benita on a lower excise rate for heated tobacco products. We'll be right back. Text 5395 with any of your thoughts on these pieces.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.